Hey everyone, this is episode 16 in season 11. Today is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. My name is Somal Patel and this is the Paint the Medical Picture podcast series. Now, all right, you guys, it is another newsworthy day today where I'm going to be featuring my spotlight series on a return guest from just a couple weeks ago. Jeanette Hayes is back and we're going to be talking about her expertise and in particular, a very fabulous article that she's published. And of course, our trusty tips and my recommendations are going to be peppered throughout our conversation. This episode is sponsored by Advanced Coating Services. Let's get into it. Today's episode is sponsored by Advanced Coating Services, a leading medical billing and medical coding school in the United States. Whether you're just starting out or a seasoned professional, our training equips you with the tools and support you need to advance your career. Our medical billing and coding school meets your needs worldwide online or in person with one-on-one support throughout your training. We are committed to helping our alumni and credentialed medical community in keeping up their certifications by offering various avenues for acquiring your continuing education units. In addition to our Mastering the Business of Medicine retreats offered several times throughout the year in different parts of the country, we now offer memberships. You can conveniently earn your CEUs by attending our exclusive members-only webinars. Since our aim is to nurture and grow the careers of individuals who work in the business of medicine, we call our member area the Apple Orchard. Advanced Coating Services, educate, nurture, inspire, reaching back with a hand up. All right, everybody, here we are. Welcome to another episode of Paint the Medical Picture podcast. And I am here with a return guest, a favorite from a couple weeks ago. Jeanette Hayes is back in the studio with me. Hey, Jeanette, good to see you.
Nice to see you, Sonal. Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. And by the way, you look tan and lovely. Do you want to share any place fantastic you just got back from?
Yes, I just got back from Hawaii. I was there for 10 days with my sister and a friend. And it was incredible. We had a great time.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. I'm so jealous. That is wonderful. Yeah, Hawaii is an incredible, incredible place. It feels like a foreign country. It's so far away. I cannot believe that we're so blessed. It's ours. It's a state. I loved Hawaii when I went a few years back. So I'm so glad you got to spend 10 glorious days there. Amazing.
That's beautiful. The sun was out. Oh, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And the people there are so kind, so friendly. Yep.
Yes. I did notice that people there were so kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Well, good. Welcome back. I'm glad to have you here stateside. Love it. So, you know, I wanted to bring you back because I remember we had ended our previous conversation with a little cliffhanger, right? I wanted to bring you back to talk about your expertise. And, you know, just in time for that cliffhanger was a very recent publication on your expertise. And it is in the AAPC magazine in the month of April. And, you know, I have my issue here in front of me. And I hope people in the audience will go and check their mailboxes out, because if they didn't receive the hard copy in the mail, it should be coming soon. And of course, it is available online. So, you know, this article is really fantastic because as we were kind of, you know, providing the audience last time with some snippets on revenue cycle and denials management and things like that, we were just teasing the audience a bit. But lo and behold, this article on four best practices for boosting revenue came out. And I really do think it's a fantastic piece of journalism. I thought you wrote it really, really well. And you gave the readership for AAPC, you know, some really valuable pro tips. So I'd love for you to share a little bit with the audience, you know, why did you write this article and what were you hoping to gain from writing it?
Yeah, so I wrote this article because I feel that sometimes, like the billing and front desk sometimes don't communicate. And I think that's important for the entire revenue cycle. Front desk, if we don't collect the correct insurance card, if we miss an ID number, if we don't collect primary, secondary insurance, I mean, all of that is missed, and we, in the end, don't get payment for that, or it takes longer for us to then collect that information, calling the patient, and it just takes longer to get payment for that visit. So I worked both front desk and billing, and also as a manager. And so I really saw just the gaps that were missing, no communication, and just really, honestly, not a lot of front desk knowledge in insurance card readings. So that's why I wanted to just get some information out there on how to best improve the revenue cycle, as well as collecting, not just collecting the insurance, but also the documentation. You know, are the providers documenting to the highest specificity? Are we billing to the highest specificity? A lot of insurance don't see in specified codes. And another thing that I saw while working in the billing department is the amount of write-offs that were being done. Not all of them were write-offs. I did a lot of research and digging before I wrote off anything, and a lot of the times they would get paid. So
that's right. That's an
important topic in the revenue cycle.
Yeah, no, I love your why, right? Because you, in the work that you've been doing for all of these years, have identified really valid and important gaps in the cycle, right? And when I read your article, I definitely agree with you that there's still a gap. It's 2024, and there's still a gap in communication on the front end of everything, right? Where I believe we talked last time together that communication with the patients on the front end, either on the telephone when they call to make the appointment or as they walk into the office, right? Whichever way is the front office, right? That's just the lingo that we use. And I agree with you completely. There is a disconnect. There is a lack of communication. People don't know what to do when they're talking to that patient, right? And what your article captures very nicely are those pro tips, is that you have to get those insurance cards from the patient immediately.
Yes.
If they're on the phone, doesn't matter. Give me your ID number. Just read it to me. I will type it in. You just read me what it says on the card front and back. Or when they walk into the office, it's the same thing. Just take it out of your wallet, please. Put it on my counter and I will type it in, or I'll make a copy of it, right? And then I'll take care of the entry later. But you're absolutely right. It's 2024 and this is still a gap. This is still a critical missing piece. So I love that you identify it, and I love that you spell it out, that you need to enter this information immediately.
Absolutely.
Don't wait. Don't ask for it after the patient has already been seen and taken care of by the provider, because then you're just chasing that patient for the information, right? You're holding the revenue. You cannot push a claim out without that critical information from the patient, right? So I thought you did a great job on that first pro tip. It's incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's not just collecting the correct information, is verifying, is the patient even eligible for that date of service?
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Collecting front and back. Do we have the billing information for the back of the card?
That's right.
Sometimes we get that, that can even be a claim that's denied.
Absolutely. That's a great point, right? Because you and I are in the field, so we know the ins and outs and the tricks, but like, what if my patient walks in with a Blue Cross Blue Shield? It's a monster, right? They have state policies in almost every single state. And so that back of that insurance card is incredibly important because it says where to send that Blue Cross and Blue Shield claim to, right? Yeah. It might be sent to somewhere else, even if the state policy is for Texas. You might still have to send that claim off to some other place. And you'll find that information only on the back of the card. So another great pro tip is you've got to read, you know, what is that electronic, that EDI number, you know, where is it going to? Yeah, that's a great tip.
It's really training the front desk thoroughly before just throwing them out there. That's one of my greatest passions, is really training front desk, feeling confident on how to read the insurance cards, how to verify eligibility. Does a patient have two insurances? Which first, coordination of benefits.
Yes.
That is just key, because then when billing sends the claim out, we want that clean claim the first time.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. You have such important tips, right? That coordination of benefits is critical, because in general, especially with our elderly population, there is going to be that primary insurance and then that secondary insurance that's going to pick up what the primary doesn't pick up, right? Sometimes you even have a tertiary insurance, a third insurance card, right? Some sort of a Medigap. It could be anything. So you really have to ask all of those details. Don't ever presume in healthcare that patients are educated, because as we know, there's so much literacy that is still needed in healthcare, right? I talk to, older friends, parents, friends, whoever, people that are older, and they just do not understand all of the information that's required as a patient for you to be knowledgeable about, right? So do not ever presume that a patient knows what to show you when it's time for them to come into the office to be seen. That's the front office's job, is to ask all of those questions, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, then as we move on through the article, in your second pro tip that you were hinting at, definitely that specificity or the lack of specificity when it comes to both parts, when it comes to the coding of claims and when it comes to documentation. I agreed with you when you put that pro tip nugget in there. I agreed with you that in 2024, we're still missing the specificity, right? Because no longer are we in ICD-9 landscape. That was from years ago, you know, pre-2015. It was much easier, right? We could memorize these codes. I remember myself doing that. I was like, oh, I know this code. I know that code. Today, I don't know the code. I have to look it up, because the characters are 7 digits and beyond. There are so many things the human mind cannot recall all of those precisely, right? So yeah, our EMR systems have to be loaded up properly. So the charge master is actually accurate and capturing the full extensions, right? Because we see a lot of practices, like you stated in the article, a lot of practices are not providing the specificity. Again, simply because their EMR systems are not fully loaded up every quarter, because we do know there are lots of quarterly changes. It's not just at the year of January 1, right? Or October for our ICD-10 types of codes. Things happen quarterly. Or like the pandemic happened, right? And things were changing up all the time. And we got all those new pandemic codes at random times, like in the spring, like in April, we got all these ICD-10 codes, right? So in healthcare, we really do have to pay attention because things are going to just rapidly change.
Yes. And one of the things I try to give the providers as much training as I can on my end is just documenting even laterality. A lot of the providers that select unspecified ear pain, for example.
Oh, no.
If you document at least where, what laterality, I can at least code that. But when you don't document, I can't code a specified or bilateral or whatever that may be.
Yeah.
So I am a coder who will query you to give me a specified code because it's important to be as specific as possible. The patient, you saw them. So, okay, document what ear the patient has the ear pain in.
Yes, exactly. Like I understand that our professionals are busy, busy people, but it's important that they understand that we're on their team, right? And we don't want to bother them for something as small as laterality, right? We want to be on their good side always, right? And when we push back for a query, something as simple as, was it the left ear that was in pain or the right ear or the left knee or the right knee, right? There's only two choices, right? It's pretty simple to just give us an RT in the documentation or an LT. We can figure it out. But if you just give us the organ ear, we have nothing else to go with. So we have to go back to you and put in that query, right? So yeah, we cannot then expect a certified coder to just guess, right? We're not allowed to guess. We cannot presume anything if it's not documented by the physician, right? We're just taught in guidelines and conventions that we cannot do that. So yeah, it's wonderful.
That these providers, they understand, they know the importance. I try to explain it in my note. Rarely get any pushback, but I, like you said, they're busy. I feel even like I have to send this, darn it, for that one thing.
Exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. Because we're trying to just, you know, do the right thing. And we have to put the query in. We cannot send that claim through with an unspecified code when we know there's only two ears. So we know it cannot be unspecified. If you examined the patient at that encounter, you did a physical exam on that ear. So we need to know specificity. So I loved, and I also chuckled when I read that, because unfortunately I have seen that from time to time over the years, the lack of specificity. But what you really pulled even more out of the documentation is that it's the electronic systems in the EMR that are not properly loaded up. So then our doctors don't even have a correct code choice if they have to quickly just hit that check mark to like choose a code, right? So if that's missing, then how is the provider accurately capturing specificity?
Right.
So yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point. So why don't you move on and talk to us about your third pro tip about the denials management process and how do we improve that?
I think implementing a tracking system, like what errors are we seeing that are common? How can we refine the denials management process? What do we need to train either front desk or clinical staff on to improve these errors?
Mm-hmm.
I think implementing an efficient system, a claim system that's going to help not just the billers, but also front desk is a good way to, and I know it's worked for me, to reduce those errors.
Yeah, that's fantastic, right? If we can have some sort of a point person as well who's in charge of that functionality, right? That kind of go-between person who can talk to both parties. I think that's a great idea in terms of the monitoring function to keep track of what's going on, because that leads very, very nicely into that last pro tip of yours, which I know I have seen so many practices do, which is just write things off. Like, and you can't do that in today's landscape with the monetary reductions, right? Like, you have to not just write it all off for no reason.
Right.
That's such a no-no.
No, you have to do your research.
Yeah.
This claim denied, did the claim even go through the clearinghouse? Sometimes it gets stuck. It could be a technical error. And mm-hmm. or one of them may show duplicate claim, but it really wasn't a duplicate claim. Was it a prior auth? Sometimes we do have it in the system. It's just the insurance probably didn't see it. It could be anything. We don't just write claims off. That's like the last thing that you should do.
Exactly.
Thorough research before writing anything off, because every penny counts.
Exactly. Every penny counts in today's modern times, where the fee schedules for our providers are just getting lesser and lesser and lesser across their entire payer matrix, right? So I loved that final point that you made for, you know, don't just write everything off unnecessarily without having someone on your staff really dig into the research, you know, and figure out why is this just sitting around unpaid, you know, and creating a lot of extra fluff in their aging reports, right? Obviously, it just grows and grows and grows. But please don't just write it off as, well, can't do anything about it. It wasn't paid, right? No, you really have to fight for these types of things. Absolutely. And I know it's costly to have someone on the team or multiple people on the team go back in and figure things out, which is why, as you said in the beginning of our conversation, is it's key to send off a clean claim to begin with, right? So that way your rate of success is so much higher for that 100% appropriate reimbursement the first time.
Yes, absolutely. That's what we want.
that's what we want. That's what our providers want. That's what they deserve, right? If they're providing quality patient care to their entire patient population, they deserve to be paid appropriately, which means everybody on their team has to know what to do from front end to middle to the back to the end of the revenue cycle. So yeah, it's incredibly important.
And I remember one of the denials that I used to see often were coordination of benefits. So the insurance would deny, oh, well, just write it off. No. Send it to the primary first. It was just sent incorrectly. That way the claim can get paid. I remember cleaning an AR once, and it was kind of a mess. And we got paid for a lot of those claims because they were denied incorrectly. So do your research.
Exactly. You know, that's what I loved at my very first job that I ever had in this industry was as an AR specialist. And I loved that because I was the one sent out to do this work. All this money just laid around, all these claims just were left unpaid for multi-specialty physicians. And I was the only one instructed to, well, here, you figure this out. You're brand new. You figure it out and try and get these claims paid. And that's what I did. And I got back so much money. Because you just have to dig in and do the research, figure it out, appeal when you have to.
Yes, that's another thing. Appeal when you need to. Sometimes it was an emergency that was needed. And so appeal it. They require chart notes. Send the chart notes. Boom, paid. Sometimes it's that easy.
Sometimes it is that easy. Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. So I thought this article that just got published is going to be an incredible piece for our industry in terms of advising our healthcare professionals of the most important, most fundamental steps to just not forget about, right? These have to be utilized each and every day for all of our specialty providers across the board. Because, yeah, we have to start doing a whole lot more to ensure that our practices are receiving appropriate reimbursement the first time. And a lot of these gaps can be identified by reading this article, listening to this podcast, getting in touch with you, because, you know, as an industry leader for this type of billing work, the revenue cycle, all of it, I really do think that it is vital for people to not forget about these multiple steps and what they require for success.
Right. Right. And remembering that the revenue cycle starts at the time of the appointment, the time that we schedule that appointment. So it doesn't seem like a big deal, but training front desk is an important piece of the revenue cycle. It really is.
Absolutely. So our practices and office management types of personnel need to be aware that you should not just be hiring someone to pick up the phone.
Right.
Just a phone man or woman. Like, no, these people are much more than that, and they deserve to be trained to understand just how important their jobs are for the practice. You know, there's so much more that goes into just picking up the phone and yes, we're open.
Right.
Yes, we have a schedule open at 1:30, you know, and then you can hang up and you're done and you can walk around the office. You know, there's so much more that your office staff on the front end should know about for the vitality of the practice. So right. Yeah, it really does start right up front.
Because you can see all the patients you want, but if we're not collecting the right information, it really doesn't matter.
Really doesn't matter. And all it does is hold up the claims you send out at the end of the day or the beginning of the next, right? Like, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be, again, like I stated earlier, chasing the patient again. You'll be calling them back, trying to get this information. But the patient is busy now. The patient has gone out of town. The patient is on a shopping frenzy. The patient is not available to talk to you, right?
Right.
So it just makes it more difficult, again, on the practice if they don't receive that information right up front.
And it can frustrate the patient too. I mean, let's get that information at the first time when the patient schedules or checks in. That's when it should be collected.
That's right, Jeanette. That's right, Jeanette. Awesome. So do we have any other final thoughts you want to talk to the audience about in terms of your expertise and this fabulous article in the publication by AAPC this month?
Just, I guess, front desk training is my expertise.
That's your expertise. Okay.
I've enjoyed like training staff in the past. I've managed. I love learning about the insurances. I love, and I think my passion comes from also loving the billing side of it, nice. Of the revenue cycle, that I know that collecting that front desk card is important for the billers, because I was a biller who sometimes had to be the one calling the patient and chasing them. So my role when I was a manager was training front desk, how to read the cards. If you guys have questions, call me.
That's right. Absolutely. So you are the training expert for the front office. So there you go, audience. If you guys need any help in terms of how do I train my front desk people, we have an expert right here who's happy to provide that type of guidance. So I think it's very, very necessary. Like we keep stressing in 2024, we see problems and hiccups, right, that continue to this day. So yeah, I think that's a really good thing to know that that is your expertise. That's something that you're passionate about. Yeah, I love that. I love that, Jeanette. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Yeah. So do you want to share any information for where folks can find you, like what your company's name is? I can find it here on my link and I can show it.
Yeah. So you can find me at trinityhealthservices.info.
There we go.
Or here on my link or on my LinkedIn page, Jeanette Hayes.
Okay, so here is the trinityhealthservices.info. And then Jeanette can also be found on her LinkedIn page. Awesome. That's great. Yeah, so people should definitely just get in touch with you, learn more about you, and definitely get in touch with you for their front office training needs for sure.
I'm here to help.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, if I get any emails from people, I will definitely reroute them to you. Absolutely. Because it's not one of my strengths. So I always send people to the right person for the right expert work. So I love it. I love it, Jeanette. My goodness. Thank you so much for coming on with me today. Once again, you've been incredible sharing your journey a couple of weeks ago and this week, you know, just spotlighting all of your expertise and learning what your true passion is, which is training the front office. So I think that's incredibly vital. Again, I think it's the keystone to the revenue cycle. I really do, because it just starts with that patient information, 100%.
Yes. Another thing that I forgot to mention is I also love to review your accounts receivable, your AR.
Yes.
We don't want it high. We want it as low as possible.
That's right.
That's another passion of mine is getting monies, not leaving money on the table.
Exactly. Exactly right. Two critical pieces of information, right? One piece has to actually start the revenue cycle. Yes. And the other piece is on the very, very far, far, far back end of the cycle, right? Just laying around doing nothing. You've got to go and get it, right? Yeah. So I love that your passion is right there on both ends and you do it so well for the practices that you've served for all of these years. So I think that's commendable.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jeanette. I loved our conversation together today. And you're always more than welcome to come back here anytime if you have anything extra to share with my entire audience, whatever it is, another new article that's going to be published or something else that you'd like to share. Because as we know, healthcare is forever changing. So absolutely.
Well, thank you, Sona, for having me. I appreciate it. It was a pleasure.
So that wraps up today's episode. Wasn't that a fantastic session with Jeanette Hayes? Her article was simply remarkable, so I hope you guys have time to check it out in the AAPC magazine this month in April. It is absolutely fantastic, and I loved all of her insights that she provided in today's spotlight feature. So, okay, you guys, thank you so much. I appreciate you all diving into today with me. If you want more information from me, please go ahead and follow me on LinkedIn. I'll leave links to everything in the show notes below. Now, remember to catch my LinkedIn Live broadcast with my good friend and colleague, Betty Hovey, for our third Friday in April. And in this Compliance Capers Fireside Chat, we discuss four self-disclosure cases involving violations of the anti-kickback statute. And all of these cases involved items that were free, and some bonus payments. Now, you guys can also catch this LinkedIn Live broadcast on my YouTube channel as well for Paint the Medical Picture. Now, all right, you guys, I hope you guys are enjoying an incredible month of April, April showers. I know the flowers and the trees are blooming here where I am. So I'm enjoying the warmer, rainier weather, but I'm very, very happy. I hope you guys are all enjoying your springtime as well. Thank you guys so much for listening on today's very special episode. And I hope every week with me brings you closer to helping your providers paint a masterpiece. See you next Wednesday.